This is a good lead into our Medical Monday with Dr. Kathy, especially talking about heart disease, mm-hmm. because that's one of the things we're going to be touching on this morning, yeah. I think. Good morning, Dr. Kathy.
Good morning, Janet and Mark. How are you?
We're doing great. So life expectancy, we're going to be talking a little bit about perception versus reality and the cause of death in the U.S. and just life expectancy in general. It's changed a lot.
That's true. And I think most people don't realize how good we have it. We take a lot for granted. They have charts for this, by the way, which if you're a geek with stats, you could get lost in this website forever. If you were born in 1900, your expectant life, span would have been about 47 years.
Wow.
46
wow.
if you were a man, 48 if you were a woman.
Wow.
Let that sink in for a second. Mm-hmm. That's just 121 years ago. If you were born then, you didn't expect to live to 50.
Hmm.
Now, many people lived beyond it, but the average,
an
average. And by the time, 50 years later, if you were born then, your expectancy was 68 years, so it had climbed over 20 years.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of information about why, because infectious diseases used to kill a bunch of us really early in life, and so that skewed the stats quite a bit. And because of vaccinations and then antibiotic development, which wasn't until the 20th century, we stopped dying so much of infection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our life expectancy as of the, if you're born in the late 70s and beyond, you expect to live into your late 70s. And that's been holding fairly steady with, a little bit of difference here and there. So that's very exciting to look at that and say, gee, we have gained over 30 years of life on average in the last 100 plus years.
Yeah, that's quite
well,
amazing.
Well, and it is amazing, but I will say this about that. For me, it does come down to, your quality of life. Lots of times people live into their 80s, but are just existing. Their quality of life really isn't, what it could be or should be, which is why I think preventative medicine is more important now than ever, because you want to make sure that if you do live that long, that you are mobile and you are as mentally clear as you can possibly be,
Exactly. Right. So, taking good stewardship care of your body, because it's the only one you're going to have, is really, really important. And so to that point, we are all going to die. None of us gets out of this thing alive, as one of my colleagues used to say.
Right. It all ends the same.
And what ultimately is our cause of death is something to think about. And that's another thing people are not really clear on. In particular, women, if you ask them, well, what do you think is going to be your cause of death? And they'll say breast cancer. Which, that's a testimony to the marketing.
Yeah, I would probably say
breast cancer is important, but it's not the number one cause of death for women. In fact, it's not even the number one cause of cancer death.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the last several decades, things haven't changed that much. The number one cause of death for men and women in the U.S. for decades now has been cardiovascular disease,
yeah.
which means heart attack. If you factor strokes in there, which has a separate entry on the cause of death chart, it by far and away exceeds all cancers combined as a cause of death. Well, what causes heart disease and stroke, for the most part, is atherosclerosis, which is a fancy word for hardening of the artery. And what's hardening of the arteries caused by? We know what the factors are. And those are some things that we can actually intervene with in our lifestyles. And that's why taking good care of yourself matters.
Like stress and Big Macs, right? That's part of that deal.
Not speaking personally, are we, Mark?
No. Well, I don't do Big Macs. I do quarter pounders. But anyway. Not as much as I used to, Dr. Kathy. Trust me, not as much as I used to.
So what are some of the things that we can start doing? Here's the thing that my doctor has always said: it's never too early to start, and it's never too late to start watching these things in your lifestyle.
I totally agree. If everybody looked at their past mistakes and just thought, "Well, I'm screwed. Forget it. I'm not going to do anything," then none of us would have a chance, because we all make bad choices with respect to the kinds of food we eat or some of the habits we pick up or our sedentary lifestyle. So, today, is your day. Let's do it. Let's start a new chapter. And so let's look at the different lifestyle things that you can change to affect healthier choices. So the types of food, absolutely. Let's look at getting more real food, stuff that you can just pluck right off the shelf and recognize as food, like vegetables, fruit, mm-hmm. unadulterated. Meat that hasn't been marinated with all kinds of salt, just straight up meat, dairy, that gets a bad name for some, but it's got a lot of protein and calcium and good things for your bones. Mm-hmm. Look at recognizable food and stop buying processed stuff or fast food. The other thing is like smoking. If you're smoking now, talk to your doctor about, well, how do I get to the place where I, A, even want to quit, and B, how do I then quit successfully? And there are many things that we've discovered over time to help people do that, not the least of which is talking about it and starting to set your mind to it. It's not all about medication. Mm-hmm. People with diabetes, they need to get their sugars under control. That is really going to help macrovascular disease, which is heart attack, stroke, etc. Blood pressure, we've already talked about once, but getting that under control makes a huge difference.
And even weight. Knowing what obesity. Your blood pressure is.
Yes, absolutely.
There's so many people out there who don't even know.
And you can't feel it, like we talked about before. You don't know that it's elevated when it is. So getting that checked and getting ahead of it and start to make those better choices. And the good news is when you start making better choices of how you eat, how much alcohol you drink, whether you smoke or not, whether you're sedentary or exercising, all of those good choices improve sugar control, blood pressure control, cholesterol level, and weight. So you're impacting several different areas of risk at once with the choices you're making.
What about, when you start making these lifestyle changes, you're going to have some withdrawals of sorts. It's almost like a drug addict. I mean, if your body's used to sugar on a continuous basis, and the whole idea of exercise, and you can start out super slow. I'll never forget, Dr. Kathy, had somebody that was my old neighbor when I lived in Lynchburg before, and she was in her, I think, mid-80s, and they had a piece of, it looked like a balloon, one of those long balloons, that they tied to her wheelchair. And I said, "What's that for, Joe?" And she says, they want me to pull on that several times a day with my left arm and my right arm. It seemed so simple, but it was something that would give movement for Joe because she was, constricted to a wheelchair. How important even are those little steps and maybe the withdrawals that you're going to run into when you're coming down off the sugar?
Oh, I think they're huge. And I think one of the things I tell my patients is, A, don't do everything at once. Mm-hmm. Let's list the goals that you have in order, and then let's do them one at a time. And once you get one under your belt for, say, a month, let's attack number two. So you can't do it all at once, or you'll get overwhelmed and chuck the whole thing.
Sure.
The other thing is, don't compare yourself to anybody else. If you're sitting in a wheelchair and you can't walk, but your arms work and you can tug on that string, mm-hmm. well, let's do that, and let's see how many times you can do it. And then next week, let's see if you can do it a few more. So don't look at anybody else. Do your own personal best, as you move forward. I think having a cheerleading squad helps. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a family of smokers and you're deciding to quit, let's talk to the other family members and just say, hey, are you wanting to quit too? Because maybe somebody else will do it with you. Mm-hmm. But if not, you can just ask them to respectfully not smoke in front of you.
Right.
Let's make the house a smoke-free zone so that they have to go outside. And, get them on your team because they probably want success for you as well. And right. then maybe you'll inspire them. So there's all those little things that you can do. The other side of that is, let's say you've made some progress and then something happens. Life happens, right? Mm-hmm. And you backslide a bit and you stop by McDonald's and get that quarter pounder. And afterwards, you kind of feel like, oh, I feel horrible. But don't let that derail you completely.
Right.
Don't let it set you off into the detour back to where you used to be.
Sure.
Look at it as an instructional. What threw me there? What else could I do when I'm stressed out?
Right.
Instead of going to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can call this person. I could go on a walk. I could do some woodwork. Fill in the blank. You're going to be different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. But you can learn about yourself and your own responses and change them.
And that's true with food as well.
Yeah.
if you're, mm-hmm. you know, if you're wanting to make better choices for you and your family, removing some of those things from your home and trying to get some support there.
Well, and I'll just give you an example. This weekend, you know, I mentioned we worked a lot outside, mm-hmm. and my wife had some tangerines she had already peeled and some apples, you know, that we had, and I would normally go in and grab if that was available. That's the thing. Try not to make it so available in your home, a snack of sorts. I mm-hmm. went in and had the fresh fruits and actually brought them out and we both snacked on them. You know, so healthy.
Rather than grabbing something processed.
A cracker or something.
Yeah, I had a nutritionist tell me one time, too, if you're really wondering about whether or not that's something you're thinking about eating is good for you, ask yourself, was it around 100 years ago? If it wasn't around 100 years ago, yeah. you could probably make a better choice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty smart.
Yeah, I like that.
That is a good point. And I always tell people when you're shopping at the grocery store, stick to the perimeter.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
You know, when you go up and down those aisles, that's when you start getting the canned stuff, the jarred stuff that's loaded with salt, the mm-hmm. processed stuff that's just got chemicals that you can't even pronounce.
Right.
Yeah. Stick to the perimeter and then get out, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, again, we want to remind folks, one of the most important things you can do is to have a physician that you can have these kinds of conversations with yeah. and make sure that you're being proactive with your health. We encourage that so much because the relationships really do matter there. So
they do. To that point, Janet, some people will have a very strong family history, let's say, of breast cancer. Maybe they've got 3 first-degree relatives who have it. Well, now the priorities just changed a little bit.
Right.
Heart disease is still important, but you may actually have a higher risk of breast cancer. And that's why the partnership with your provider is so important, because they can help you go through a lot of the, you know, risk factors that you have and prioritize what's the most important thing to steward your body and keep you healthy into those late 70s.
There you go.
We had a text in that says beer's technically on the perimeter.
Yeah, I had a sense that was going to happen. I knew it as soon as I said it, but you know what? In moderation, it's
yes.
all right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A beer or two for men, one for women, that's yeah. okay.
Liquid
again,
bread, no
moderation.
Sir. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much.
We always enjoy talking with you. We always learn so much when you call in. We love our Medical Mondays with you, Dr. Kathy.
Well, it's such a privilege to be here with you guys. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
You too.
You too.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.